Your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 is where we'll be. It's good to have you with us this morning. As a congregation this year, we have been about the theme of seeking, knowing, and serving God. And as a part of our effort to do this, we have, under the guidance of the elders, had three different special messages throughout this year, just to offer a special invitation to those who themselves may be seeking and want to know more about God. This morning you may have come our way having received one of these or seen one of these invitations on Facebook. If so, welcome. A few of our visitors I've had a chance to meet, a few of you I've not had a chance to yet, but we're so glad to have you with us. This morning what we're going to be doing, as you perhaps already know, is looking at faith in God. Earlier this year, we've really looked at the qualities and characteristics of God. We've spent particular time looking at the grace of God and also at the love of God. And as the elders discussed what in our special message this time should entail, they recognize that we've talked a lot about the grace of God and the love of God, that is His nature, but how then do we respond to our holy God? And in one word, of course, that is faith. The question I would like to pose this morning is this: why should I put faith in Jesus? God is gracious, God is loving, God is holy, God is righteous, God is glorious, God is sovereign. But ultimately, why should I put my faith in Him? Let me tell you what we're going to do this morning. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 14 and look at the story of Jesus walking on the water. The various events that have been happening with Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma, I think we may have a special appreciation for what the disciples are going through in this story. And we'll make various connections as we go along. But this morning as we go through the story, what I really want to do is I want to focus especially on Jesus in this story. Very briefly. Here's the story. Jesus walks on the water. Peter then calls out to Him. He walks on the water. His faith falters. He falls. Christ then lifts Him up. It's one of the more common stories of Jesus Christ. But now as we look at this story, what I really want to do this morning is I don't want to focus as much time on Peter in the narrative. Usually Peter is the one who is focal to this story. Rather, what I would like to do is I would like to look to see what Jesus is doing in this story. So let's go ahead and read the text together. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples to get into the boat and go before the crowd to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. And after He dismissed the crowds, He went up upon the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter had answered Him, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You out on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out His hand, took hold of him, reaching to him and saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he got out of the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." This is truly a miraculous event. And as you go throughout the narrative, I would recommend we see Jesus really in three places. We first see Jesus on the mountain praying. We then see Jesus on the sea. And the story ends with Jesus in the boat. Well, what does all this have to do with faith? As you go throughout the narrative, the word faith really isn't used. And faith isn't a central text. I mean, if you consider the great faith text of the Bible, perhaps Romans 1:17, the mystery has been revealed from faith to faith. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Matthew 14 typically isn't one of the great faith texts of the Bible. But I would recommend, If we look at Jesus in this story, we are going to see the true and the full story of faith in the Bible. This morning, if you looked at one of the cards and were invited here because of one of the four questions that was on this card, we're going to answer all four of these questions as we go through it, and we're going to use this story as a means for understanding each of these answers. So let's first look at Jesus on the mountain. I would like to pose this question. Why do I need to put faith in God? Why do I need to put faith in God? I mean, really, is faith necessary? Well, let's look to see where Jesus is. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And afterward, he dismissed the crowds. He went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way away, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. In the context of this story, Jesus has just finished the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. That is the only of his stories in all four Gospels, a crucial one to the story of Jesus. Jesus has taken the bread and the fish, and he's fed the 5,000 from that. After then this miracle finishes, Jesus then demands the other disciples to go away. He sends them into a boat out onto the Sea of Galilee. So here's the story. The disciples are on the sea, and a storm comes. Look at verse 24. The boat by this time was a long way away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. If you go to Mark 6, the story of this in the Gospel of Mark, we understand there more clearly a storm has come upon the sea. So because a storm has come, the disciples are in this little boat on the Sea of Galilee, at least 3 miles outside the shore, and a storm comes. Then where's Jesus? Jesus, verse 23, is on the mountain by himself praying. I think this provides for us a great metaphor for our own lives and why we need to put faith in God. Why do I need to put faith in God? Because Christ is above the world. That's what this story is showing us. Jesus, in his providential nature, understood the disciples needed to go out onto the sea. They needed to go where the storm was. But where's Jesus? Jesus sitting in the storm. He's on the mountain. He's safe from the storm. He can command the storm. He created the weather that gives the storm. God is on the mountain. The disciples are on the sea. As we consider this metaphorically for our own lives then, where are we? Where is God? We, without question, are in the storms of life, both physically and metaphorically. We are in the storms of this earth. As we live this life in this realm, there will always be storms that are about us. There will always be conflict that is among us. There will always be battles that are within us. The storms are the rule of life, and that's where we are. Physically, we've seen the effects of these storms in Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma. From what I understand, it is going to take years to even begin to rebuild the Key West again. Utterly destroyed by storms. One hurricane can create such destruction that it is going to take billions upon billions of dollars to rebuild. The disciples were in a storm. They weren't in the middle of a hurricane, but they were in the middle of a storm. The storm is raging, and they're in some little dinky boat, hoping that they are going to remain safe from the waves and the winds that are about them while a storm rages on. What effect can storms have on our own lives? The storms of this life can deteriorate us. They can take us to our very knees. They can take out our very lives. The storms that we have in this life are not always going to be a physical hurricane, but it will often be the emotional roller coaster we go through. It will be the social barriers that we overcome. It will be the family obstacles that we have to overcome. It will be the work struggles that we have to put up with, and it will be the spiritual battles that we fight. Those are the storms of this life. And I don't need to beat this point much. Life is tormented by the storms of life. The storms of this life are the rule. Talk to any individual here this morning, and I'm sure it wouldn't take 5 seconds to understand the storms that each of us in our own individual lives are facing. So here's the image. We're on the sea. The disciples are in the boat on the sea while a storm's about them. We're on the sea. A storm is waging about us. Where then is Jesus? Jesus is on the mountain. Why do I need to put my faith in God? Because God is above the storms. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Thinking through this, faith in its essence is really trust. Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is really trust. It is a believing, faithful trust. And as we look at the concept of trust in our own lives, the question that ultimately comes with faith is, who am I going to trust in this life? So here's the image. We, as in the human experience, are in the storms of this life. There are winds that are stronger than we can overcome. There are waves that go above our head. There are events of this life that are out of our control. When events like this happen, where do I put my faith? Where do I put my trust? Where do I turn to? Do I turn to my fellow co-pilots? My color co-pilots, we're not in a plane. Do I go to my fellow navigators in the boat? Do I go to my fellow individuals in this life? My brothers and sisters, perhaps? Well, humans are all in the storm together. We're in the boat together. While we may be able to get our buckets and get some of the water out, while we may be able to help each other and row a little bit harder in one direction, ultimately, we are not going to be able to overcome the storms by ourselves. What it's going to take is one who is above the storms. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Where is Jesus? Jesus is on the mountain. Jesus is in the throne. Jesus is in heaven. The great King, the great Sovereign, the great Lord, the great Almighty. He is in control. He is with the Father. He is Lord. We're down here in the storm. Who are we going to trust in? The second question on your card that I would then like to pose is this. Where does my faith lie? Here I think there's two options. Does my faith lie ultimately here, or does my faith lie above? When we talk about storms, storms are things that are out of our control. Things that torment us and assault us, but ultimately are out of our control. While each of us may not be going through great emotional battles or family battles or relational battles or work battles, all of us have great spiritual battles that we are fighting. Each of us have been overcome by the greatest of storms that has ever plagued humanity, and that is the storm of sin. Sin that separates us from God, sin that separates us from the Holy Father, sin that creates a division between us and God. It is the great storm that none of us can overcome by ourselves. We're down here in the storm. We're in the boat. It's going to take the God of the mountain to come down and save us from it. It's going to take the God of the mountain to come and save us from it. It's going to take the God of the mountain to come and salvage us from this great storm that is waging. Where does my faith lie? Do I put my faith here? Do I put it in myself? Do I put it in my fellow man? Do I put it in my fellow woman? Do I put it in human knowledge? Do I put it in human wisdom? Or do I put it above? Do I put it in the Holy God? I would recommend that while at times we may be safe on land, you'll notice with me a bit earlier in chapter 14, verse 20, they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken leftover. There's times in our lives we're going to be on the land, satisfied. There's times in our lives that we're going to be on the land, satisfied by what we have in this life. But then there's other times that we're going to be on the storm. We're going to be on the water. The waves and the wind are going to overcome us. The power of that great storm will come above us. That great tempest will overpower us. Who then will I trust in then? When I'm satisfied and content on land, it's easy to trust in myself. But whenever I'm on the storm, that's when I'm brought to full recognition and realize that ultimately I need to put my faith in God. So, looking then where Jesus goes, Jesus doesn't stay on the mountain. And I think this is a great metaphor for Jesus and his work on earth. Jesus does not stay safe on the mountain. He goes to the sea. The question I would like to pose is this: what then should real faith look like? As you pick up in chapter 25 of verse 25 of chapter 14, and then the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. The fourth watch of the night, that would be sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., pitch darkness. And I think that's interesting. Christ doesn't go at twilight. Christ does not go at sunrise. Christ goes in the middle of the night. When the storm was scariest, when their fear was fullest, when their greatest concerns were highest, that is when Christ goes. Verse 26. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So here's the image. Jesus on the mountain leaves the mountain. He goes down to the sea. He goes down to the storm. And what does Jesus do? He overcomes the storm. He walks on the water. And when Jesus goes, he goes to his disciples. He calls out to them and he saves them. He saves them. And really, isn't this what Christ has done? Christ has left heaven and come down to the storms of this life at the time in our life when it was darkest, in the time of sin, and he saved us. He's walked on the water. He saved us. Because Christ is the only Savior, because God is the only Redeemer, what then do we need to do? Well, I would recommend faith means we have to walk on the waters. Peter, I think, really gets a bad rap in this story. Whenever I typically hear this story told, we always like to talk about how Peter faltered in his faith. Let me ask you this question. Where are the other disciples? Peter answered, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." And then I think in one of the greatest acts of faith anywhere in the Bible, so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. He gets out of the boat, he walks on the water, and he goes to Jesus. The other disciples are not safe, but they're safer in the boat. They're content in the boat. Peter sees Jesus, and he goes to Jesus. He knows that Jesus is ultimately safety. Here, I think, is the message. We, at times in our lives, convince ourselves the boat is the true safe haven. We think that whatever boat we have constructed in this life, that boat will save us. That's an illusion. It may keep us above the waters, but at some point it's going to be overcome with a storm. At some point the wood is going to rot away and it's going to deteriorate and we will drown in the water. True safety is not found in the boat. It's found in Jesus. What this demands of us then is we have to leave the feeling of contentment that we may find in the boat. We have to leave the feeling of safety that we may find in that boat. And we have to go to Jesus. What does that mean? It means if Jesus says it, then I will do it. I want us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter, after the resurrection, becomes an amazing, amazing apostle. Really, in the story of the early church, Peter is as much of a leader, and he is as brave as any of the apostles that you see. I mean, none of the apostles get a bad rap. They all die for the sake of their Lord. But in the story of Acts, Peter becomes a rock of the church. Peter takes this story to heart after he sees the resurrected Christ. And I want us to know what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and are insulted for the name of Christ. You are blessed because of the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify in that name. If Christ tells us we need to go to him, we go. If Christ tells me to obey, I obey. If Christ tells me to walk, I walk. If Christ tells me to sit, I sit. If Christ tells me to suffer for his name, I suffer for his name. Whatever he has revealed through the inspiration of the Spirit in his holy word, that is what will guide my life. When Christ tells me come, I come. When Christ tells me walk on the water, I walk on the water. The message for our lives then, brethren, is this. Whatever by faith Christ tells us to do, by faith we need to do. If that means in my life I need to respond to him in salvation, I need to respond to him in salvation. If that means that I need to worship him in a certain way, I worship him in a certain way. If that means that I use my tongue for good and not evil, I use my tongue for good and not evil. If that means I use my thoughts in a certain way, I use my thoughts in a certain way. Christ is Lord, I obey, because he's the safety. He's the anchor. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. I go to Christ. There's a new song that's written that's called Oceans. It's come out in the last few years. If you go to YouTube, you can find various a cappella renditions of it. I want to read just a few lyrics from this song. It's taken from the story that we just read. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fall. And there I find you in the mystery. In oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waters. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surround me, you've never failed and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. I think that is such a beautiful, poetic rendition of this story that really demonstrates the imperative of faith. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. What then does real faith look like? It means we walk on the water, I would recommend, because Christ is going to take us through the storm. It's whenever the waters get highest. It's whenever the waves get strongest. It's when the storm reaches its climax that then the grace of God shines even more. Well, then as we finish our story, Christ gets in the boat. Back in Matthew chapter 14, verse 32. And when they got into the boat, let me begin in verse 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. How do they respond? How do they respond? They respond with worship. How should faith affect my life? Faith should make me recognize I am not in control. God is in control. I am not sovereign. God is sovereign. And because of that realization, I am going to put myself upon the altar of God and I will worship Him. Those in the boat worshiped Him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." In the Gospel of Matthew, this is the first time the disciples utter this great declaration. You're the Son of God. They have just seen a man walk on waters. They have ultimately just seen the Son of God walk on water. And because of this, it makes them realize God is truly God. Jesus is God. And because of that, Jesus, you are the Son of God. How then should faith should affect my life? Faith should affect my life in every way. It means that there are times I need to walk upon the water and come to Jesus, but it also means that if Jesus gets in the boat, I fall and I worship Him. Faith ultimately demands allegiance to Christ. I want us to go back to the book of 1 Peter and go to chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Ultimately, faith demands allegiance. That's really what faith demands. Faith is not just an empty card, but faith is the totality of life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all of your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. What then does faith demand? Faith demands allegiance. You'll notice verse 7. Why do we need to put our anxieties on Christ? Why do we need to put our cares on Him? Because He cares for us. Jesus could have stayed on the mountain. Christ could have stayed in heaven. But Jesus went to the water and Christ came to the earth. He cares for us. And because of that, we need to give Him our very lives. We need to give Him our obedience. We need to give Him our allegiance. After you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I have to give my life to Christ. And while that demand at times may seem overwhelming, I would recommend it is only when we give our lives to Christ that we will then truly find safety. I don't know what would have happened if Jesus had stayed on the mountain. I don't know what would have happened to the disciples if Jesus had never walked on water. But I think it's reasonable to conclude they were at least 3 miles outside of land. A great storm comes upon them. They're not all going to make it. They made it through the night. And they go on to live lives for Christ. Why? Jesus saved them, and they're going to live for Him. That is truly a life of faith. A life that recognizes the power of God and then gives obedience and allegiance to Him. So let's then answer the big question that we began with. Why do I need to put faith in Jesus? Well, Jesus is above the storms of this life. And ultimately, He's going to take us through if we trust in Him. That's the story of faith. Get out your songbooks, please. Where do you feel you are right now in your life? Do you feel as though you're on a mountain, perhaps yourself? You know, you feel as though you're okay. Things are just going great. Maybe you feel like you're in the boat. You know, there's storms that come every once in a while, but I'm good. Or do you feel as though you're in a boat that has had a storm lashing against it for the last 10 years and you just don't know a way out? Christ is not going to take away every care of this life. Christ is not going to take away every anxiety of this life. A life in Christ is still going to be a life that has difficulties and battles and stress. There are too many who come to Jesus thinking that, you know, once I come to Jesus, my life will be perfect. I'll get rich. I'll be happy. My relationships will be great. All I need to do is be baptized, and I have a magic bullet for all the problems of life. That's not the story of a Christian. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 5, there are still going to be storms that come. There are still going to be difficulties that come, but here's what I would recommend. Jesus is not going to take us away from the storm. Jesus is going to take us through the storm. We in our lives are never going to leave the storm. This life is a storm. So long as we live in a world of sin, there will always be conflict and there will always be storms that come. But if we put our faith in Jesus, if we give our obedience to Him, and we give the allegiance of our lives to Him, then we know with confidence that no matter how difficult the storm may be, whether we are facing a Category 1 hurricane, whether we are facing a little bit of a downpour, whether we are facing a tornado, or whether we are facing a Category 5 hurricane, Jesus is going to take us through it. Because on the other side of this life, when we get to eternity, when we get to heaven that has no end, we've walked on the water and it's going to be okay. The God of the mountain has saved us. And I am so grateful that Jesus left that mountain and came to the storm to save me. Maybe you need to respond in obedience to Jesus this morning. By grace, we've been saved through faith. The bulletin article gives more details on that. By grace, we've been saved through faith. God has given us His grace, His love, His own Son. If we give Him our faith, our obedience, and render ourselves over in submission to Him, believing on His name, and then are immersed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, Christ will then take us out of the depths of sin and rise us to newness of life, not leaving the storms, but with confidence that we are going to get through the night, and He will one day take us up to the mountain. If you want to get through the storm, and he needed to respond in obedience to Jesus this very morning, come forward while we stand and while we sing. When we